Titus chapter 2, and over the next, probably next month, the next 4 weeks, we're going to look about passing the faith along, passing the faith along. And today we're going to look at old men, and then we'll look at old women. Now that's kind of scary territory there, right? You shouldn't call any lady old, right? And then we're going to look at young men and young women. So in the next few weeks, we're going to see these different categories. The Word of God, again, is so timely, and He knows how we're built because He made us. He knows what we need to hear. And what I want you to be mindful of, again, this whole picture in Titus is what does a healthy church look like? And today, as we look in Titus chapter 2, we're going to see that it's godly men who are able to pass along what they've learned by their example and by their speech. And I pray that today you'd be challenged. There's a lot of guys in our church today, and again, I always love how the Lord puts these things together. I was teasing my dad last night. Remember I told you about when you preach through books, the right people show up on the right days? So today is Old Man Sunday, and guess who showed up, right? And so he told me this morning, he said, don't rebuke your elders, is what the scripture says. He was trying to get on me to be nice to him. But again, the Lord works this out. I hope you'd be encouraged today. So let's look together in the book of Titus, chapter 2. Healthy churches pass the faith along. So we're going to start with godly, not grumpy, godly old men. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So King James says this, Paul writing to Titus on the island of Crete, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So maybe we should use aged instead of older, right? That sounds a little more quality if you're getting aged, right? Let me start off with this, and then we'll try to not be quite so humorous the rest of the day. J.K. Gillard says this, on my father's birthday, my almost six-year-old son, Keelan, called to wish my father a happy birthday. Poppy, are you 5 years old? Yes, my father answered, playing along with him with a twinkle in his eye. Then Keelan asked, Poppy, are you 6 years old? Again, my father answered, yes. And excitedly, Keelan turned to me and he said, Mommy, Poppy went through all the numbers and had to start over again. We need desperately for men, especially aged men or men who have life experience, to lead in our churches by example. That's the point of the message today, okay? So you, if you need to rest, you can, but that's what I want you to grab hold of. We need men who know the Lord, who have lived life, to be an example for everybody else in our church community, in our church family. And so today, we're going to give you some very specific things to think about. I hope that you'll be challenged. Some of these things you may be doing really well in, and some things you might be struggling with. So ask the Lord to encourage your heart and to challenge you about being the kind of godly man that you can be. Again, as we'll go through the next few weeks, I'm not sure where the line break is. Like when Paul was writing to Titus, I don't know if he thought 40 was the difference between young men and old men. But just as people today, think about these attributes and ask the Lord to help you become all that he has for you to be. In verse 1, you see right away that Paul tells Titus, we must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine or things which become sound doctrine. Again, that word sound, and I want to keep you hitting you on this, it means healthy. We need healthy doctrine in our churches. We need it in our men, in our women, in our young men, in our young women. In chapter 2, we see that for churches to be healthy, believers of all ages must work together and work as individuals for the impact of the gospel. And I don't know about you, but for me, I was thinking about this. Older Christian men have always had a great impact on my life. And I've even seen it in my son, Isaiah, how for many years, it almost seemed like sometimes that he identified better with older men than he did men or boys of his own age. He always really liked to be around older men. And because older men can teach us and have such a great impact. I think of my own grandpa Malone and my own dad, people that have displayed practically what it looks like to live out what you believe. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can hear it or it can be taught, but when you can see how to do it, then all of a sudden it starts to make sense, right? And so to have people like this that live out their faith in front of you and be an example, oh boy, it means the world to us, doesn't it? And so men today, we need you to be those kind of men as well, to live out your faith so that others can see what it looks like to follow Jesus for your life. Again, their actions have influenced my behavior time and time again. I wrote down just a few things here, and I don't want to belabor this too much, but I've learned from what it looks like for men to sing. Some men think they're too tough or too cool to sing and to really worship. But I have been around most of my life. I've been able to be around godly men who could worship the Lord with a pure heart, with clean hands, and not hold back, even if they couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, and lift their praises to the Lord. We need men like that. I've known what it is for old men to wash feet. And we tease about this preacher's old nasty feet. But I've been around old men most of my life who would gather in a room, would fill up the basins, would grab the towels around, and they would reach down to little boys who were 5 and 6 and 7 years old and let them know that they were special, that they mattered, and that they were loved. And that's why feet washing can be very powerful and where old men can have such a huge impact. I think even now of our own church, when we do a men's breakfast, and I have no doubt in 20, 30 years that little David and Jacob are going to remember very much those crazy men's breakfasts and all those old men who sat around a table and yapped about whatever and drank coffee. But they love those moments. They remember that, and they see here are some men identifying as followers of Jesus who come together to encourage each other. I remember what it means for men to care for their wives and families even in difficult circumstances. Even when their company went on strike or they lost their job or when their spouse got so sick they had to be in a nursing home, I know what it means for old men to care for old women. Wendy's grandpa, unbelievable example of what it meant for him to sacrifice everything he loved to care for his wife who could not get out of a chair. I've seen godly old men who live out the love of Jesus. For men who face terminal illness, I've seen godly men do that and how they approach it. For men who care for those with special needs, I've seen that. And it's so powerful to see an older man take care of someone that everybody else might minimize or limit, and for them to step in. We definitely need godly men now more than ever, and little boys and little girls are watching you. So my challenge to you today is, what kind of legacy are you leaving? What kind of legacy are you leaving? Let the word of God speak to you today, not so much me, God's word. We're going to look at godly attitudes, 3, and then we're going to look at godly actions, 3. So 2 simple things, probably a pretty quick message today, but very clear, hopefully, from the word of God. Let the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart today about where you need to grow and to be more like Jesus. Godly attitudes of older men. The first one that is laid out for us is this word, sober. The word sober is basically to abstain from those things which hinder vigilance or watchfulness. A few other definitions: the idea of moderation or avoiding extremes, to be free from ungodly influences and substances, and thereby keeping your mind alert and watchful. Your experience, your knowledge, and wisdom should cause a lifestyle of restraint and vigilance, not excess, because you are older. We need some old men who will pay attention. You know what I mean by that? Let me give you a good example. I am not really good about cars. They're not my thing too much, right? And just about any time that I go home, somebody is, whether it's me or my kids or Brooklyn or Isaiah, when we go to grandma and grandpa's, somebody takes a look at their tire pressure. They pay attention to that. They look and see, wait a minute, why does that one look so much lower? When's the last time you checked those things, right? They are vigilant. They are watchful about something like that because it should protect whoever's driving, right? It should protect the life of that tire, protect that car. What we need in our churches is the same thing. We need some godly old men who can look at a younger man who's had a relationship with that younger man and can say, hey, when's the last time you checked that? It's been a little while, hasn't it? That looks like it's running a little low in you. I'm a little bit nervous about where you're headed. I love you, And I know you think I'm a nag, but I'm watching for your betterment, for your behalf, for your good. We have some great godly men in our church, and we need to make sure that we are engaging our younger men in our church so that we can have those kind of conversations, right? Hopefully down the line, they'll learn those things and see them from us, but there may be a time or two where one of us might even step in for Michael and say to David or Jacob, hey, I want you to check that. And Michael may step in to speak to Isaiah or someone like that, or to Zach, right? We need to make sure that we are keeping watch over the things the Lord has given us. Again, we want to be watchful, not critical. There's a difference, right? Grumpy old men are critical. Godly old men are watchful. Everybody got that? That's the difference. That's what's important. Be protective. Help us keep an eye on the most important things. Godly old men are sober so that they can keep an eye on what really, really matters. Second word today, again, and the attitude that a godly man would have is to be reverent, to be grave is how Authorized Version, I think, would have it, to be serious, dignified, or respectable, avoiding irreverence, and not unduly excited unto disrespectful conduct. The word points to a seriousness of purpose and to self-restraint in conduct. Even reverent and sober have some overlapping meanings, right? We need to make sure that we are serious at the right times. This week, and I'm not necessarily recommending this to you, I'm just telling you the story, okay? I watched David Letterman as he interviewed Barack Obama, and they had a segment where they were showing that David Letterman got a walk with Representative John Lewis back across the bridge there in Alabama at Selma. And if you don't know the story about John Lewis, when he was 25 in 1965, they led a peaceful protest. All they were doing was taking African Americans, trying to walk to Montgomery. They were walking across the bridge. That's all they were doing was walking. And the police there came and began to beat. John Lewis was beaten that day. He ended up trying to say something briefly, and then he woke up in the hospital. And he was taking a stand for what he thought was unjust and trying to make things right. What was very interesting at the very end of this interview with David Letterman, he says, in 1965, when John Lewis was doing that, just a little bit later that spring, my buddies and I were trying to find a place in Mexico where we could go get drunk because the alcohol limit age wasn't existing. And you could see even David Letterman even teared up while he was talking about this. As he recognized, he said, why wasn't I part of what John Lewis was doing? We lived at the same time. And he was doing serious things that were mattering, and I was just going to go get drunk to party, right? Godly men know when it's time to be serious, and they take serious things seriously. We need some godly men to remind us about the important things. Man, isn't our life filled with so much trivial things today? I want to be careful here. I want you to enjoy things. God has created things for us to enjoy and to see abilities in people. But I think he wants us to be careful about excess in those things. Just, again, thinking of men and sports. Your preacher probably, as much as anybody in here, loves sports. I love to see the abilities that are in athletes and the way that they think and the way they're able to play certain games. But if my whole life is wrapped up in just watching and trying to play these games, have I really done something significant and serious when it's all said and done, right? Be careful in those trivial things. We need men who remind us about the important things. Again, not that we can't laugh or that men and godly men can't help us to learn to enjoy fun things, but we cannot sacrifice the trivial for the important, or vice versa. We cannot sacrifice the important for the trivial. Amen? We need godly men to stand up to teach us that. Yeah, I know it'd be fun to go do this today, but we're actually going to go help fix this lady's house because it's got a leak in it. Or we're going to go help fix this ramp so that this other older man can get in and out of his house today. I know it'd be fun to go do this today, but what the Lord has put in our heart is something that is serious that's going to make an impact, okay? Again, we need discernment and we need to take time to rest, but we definitely need godly people to remind us what is important. What is truly important. To do that, we need men that will have well-lived lives and will have studied well so they can point these things out to us. If you will bear with me this morning, one way I worded it is we need to be reminded less about how the lawn looks and more about how we can help the persecuted church or the poor in our own community. You hear that today? And don't get me wrong, and I know as sometimes we get older, we just see things a lot more clearly and things frustrate us a little more. Why does that lawn look like that? Why can't we fix this here? Why is that leaking over there? What is this, you know? And those things need to be taken care of, and we need help to do those things. But sometimes we get much more concerned about those things that really don't compare to some big things that really matter. Godly men, we need you to help us in those things. We need you to help us see that way. Be sober, be reverent. And then the third one today for our attitudes, be temperate. Be temperate. Again, authorized version here has sober-minded. Again, a lot of these are very similar. Sensible, well-balanced in judgment, sound or healthy judgment, mature judgment, and proper restraint. It controls the passions and properly directs them to deal with all the temptations and trials that age brings. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school a little bit, didn't we already? That age brings trials and temptation, doesn't it? You get frustrated. You can't do what you used to do. To some extent, as we get older, at least I'm feeling this way, you feel a lot more like you should be able to speak your mind. Amen? Right? I've lived on this planet long enough. You don't know what I've been through. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and you're going to listen. Because I'm an old man. It's my right. Ever felt like that? I don't even see any hands going up. I can't believe I'm the only one who feels that way. Excuse me, bear with me. Listen to this, and this is a really kind of a good twist to make you think about the person that you're trying to be. If you can start your day without caffeine, if you can get going without pep pills, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring your aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can overlook it when those you love take it out on you when through no fault of yours something goes wrong, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can ignore a friend's limited education and never correct him, if you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, if you can face the world without lies and deceit, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without liquor, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, if you can say honestly that deep in your heart you have no prejudice against creed, color, religion, or politics, then my friend, you are almost as good as your dog. Isn't that really, that kind of twisted on you, doesn't it, right? Whoa, wait a minute, what? That's a challenge for us to live like that. We always tease about Chief at our house because he has about a 10-second memory. If he gets in trouble, then he'd be scared of you for just about 10 seconds, and then he's back, he's your best friend. He never acts like anything happened, right? It's easy to moan and to whine and complain and see how bad we have it, right? I wish everybody could have been in there this morning around that men's table and hear all these old men talk about how thankful they were for the blessings in their life. That's the kind of men we need more of, and we need to hear them saying that louder so our young people realize, hey, that's who I want to be. I want to walk like that. I want to live like that. And praise the Lord for that. As we get older, at least seems to be somewhat common, it can be harder to control your opinions. You're tired of being quiet. You want to be, you feel like you deserve to be heard. But again, listen to Paul's words to Titus. Be sensible. Be well-balanced in your judgment. Be mature. Hear me out today. We don't need old men throwing tantrums to get their way. We need them to lead others about how to control and direct their passions. Not to ignore their passions, but to direct them properly, right? You probably heard, seen on multiple sports films, you have anger, that's good. Use that anger on the football field, right? To make it work like it should, right? And sometimes today, maybe you have anger for injustice, and you see injustice in your community, and it frustrates you, and it makes you angry, then ask the Lord to channel that into a holy and a righteous anger that you might use it where it's best effective, and it's where his name would be magnified. If you desire to be pleasing to Christ, these are the attitudes you're going to cultivate in your Christian life. So, men, again, I ask you this morning with your attitudes, how are you doing? Let's look at your actions today. Godly actions of older men. So we saw how you should think, how should you behave, and of course those things go together, don't they, right? If your attitudes are correct, your actions are going to be what they should be. Again, Titus chapter 2, verse 2, be sound in your faith, in your responsibility toward God, in personal trust, confidence, and dependence. Be sound in your faith. Older men need to know the scriptures, not just the preacher. Older men need to know the scriptures so they can pass it on to the younger generation. Older men need to understand doctrine. Last week, I stood up here before you. We talked about false teachers, right? I asked you about your math facts. Do you remember that? They add to the word of God. They subtract from the deed of Christ. They multiply works to salvation, and they divide leadership. They divide loyalties. That's what cults do. That's what false teachers do. We need godly old men who know the word of God, who can see those things when they're coming in, trying to seep into the church and say, whoa, wait a minute. I've seen this before. This is not right. Let's put the brakes on this. We need men who will study, not just to become so that they can have ammunition for their own opinions, or to prove that they're right, but because they always know they need the direction of the Lord and the gospel. And we need men in faithfulness to continue to obey the gospel and find the reward. Some great reminders about a life well lived from Paul in 2 Timothy. He writes to him, he says, Timothy, verse 6, chapter 4, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. Notice verse 7, so good. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Men, you want to say that when you're ready to go? Boy, I do, right? Yeah. From here on out, Lord willing, I'm going to have ups and downs. I know that. But when it gets all said and done, that's what I want to say. Now look what he says too. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, right? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. It's worth it. I lived it to the end, and it's worth it. Godly men today, be that kind of man and inspire that in us and in younger men and in our boys, that they'll be those kind of men. Amen. Lord, help us to be that way. So you want to be sound in your faith. You want to have a healthy understanding of what's true and what's right according to the word of God. Be sound in love, or have a healthy understanding of love and your responsibility towards others. Age mustn't diminish one's concern for others, but increase it. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we get older, we get tired. We're like, well, I guess that's just how it's going to be. We get weary in well-doing. The scripture encourages us not to get weary in well-doing. We should increase our desire to serve and to be concerned for those who need love. Love keeps on going. We know that, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Look at this, verse 7. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love doesn't quit. Old men today, I know you're achy. I know you're tired. I know you've seen him mess it up 100 times, and you had to go fix it 100 times. Do it 101 times. All right? We were encouraged even that this morning. Some of the people in our prayer group said that we would not quit, that we would keep going, we would keep doing what's right, because love perseveres. Be sound in love. This is interesting. Maybe you've heard this before. There's a hypothesis that seniors who serve live longer. Researchers at the University of Michigan recently discovered that the survival rate of seniors who volunteered 40 or more hours a year for a single cause was 40% greater than that of non-volunteers. Isn't that interesting? People who took their gifts and their passions and engaged that in serving others, their lifespan, their ability to live was 40% higher than those that weren't volunteering. Again, I'm sure that had to do with them getting out and being active as well. But it's interesting how that was tied together. And that's from senior volunteers submitted by Van Morris. So be sound in your love. Be sound in your faith. Be sound or healthy in the way you love. And then finally, in your action, be sound in your patience. We must deal with the trials of age. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is only achieved by a relationship with Christ. It's not something you do on your own ability. Again, think back even to the Unstuck series. To deal with the trials of age, we must stay close to the Master. If anybody should get this, it should be the men of our church. Amen? Older men in our church have had to deal with trials physically, haven't they? Right? They get it. They know it. And it's frustrating and it's hard and you can't do what you used to be able to do. But we need you to be an example. We need you to teach us what it means to trust Christ as you face difficulty. Everybody is watching. Again, I bring him up a lot just because he's such an encouragement in my life. But I had such a great friend in Calvary over in Illinois. His name was Tom Johnson, and he had cancer. They said he had 6 months to live. He lived almost 8 years. He didn't whine. He didn't complain. Instead, he helped us put up a cross. He helped us roof a church. He helped widows who were in need. After he did his chemo treatments, he kept going to his work. He took care of his wife, and he would come in on Sunday morning, and he'd say, I want to sing Living by Faith. And we were all watching. Jacob and James and Isaiah and all these little boys, Brock, in their heart, they were inspired like, well, I know what it looks like to be a man of God. Now, I may have problems along the way. I may forget where I need to be sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, if you ask me to know what it is, I know I can see what that looks like. How about you guys today? Can we be those kind of men for our church family? We're going to deal with trials of age. We're going to deal with the part of life of being steadfast. That means to be in the moment and glad for the moments that God gives us and to use them for God's glory. Instead of having a reputation for being grumpy, we need to show others what it means to treasure Christ and his gifts in every situation. Let it be godly men who show us what it truly means to be thankful. And I already hit that today. Our godly men, our church, you guys, you're right on task today. You weren't even prompted. And you did a great job reminding us of that. Our patient endurance and the patient endurance of godly men can inspire and strengthen others to be patient. Briefly, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, and there the author of Hebrews says, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Godly men, we need you to be that way. Be those who teach us that if you will be faithful and steadfast, if you will finish your course, finish your race, that you know there's a crown of righteousness and it will inspire others that come behind you to do the same. That is so desperately what we need today. The leadership of the godly is so crucial. Next week, we'll see the leadership of godly women. It makes a huge difference for the kingdom of God in this world. So I want to close with one illustration today. Again, this morning, as you hear this illustration, be thinking, is my attitude, is it what it needs to be? Are my actions what they need to be as I serve the Lord? This is from Aaron Gortner from Utica, New York. Again, he says, according to Open Doors Ministry, and Open Doors is when we do persecuted church, that's the videos that we show and the materials that we share, okay? Listen to this, it's very interesting. According to Open Doors Ministry, Chinese government officials became so fed up with sky-high rates of crime and drug addiction and sickness in the county of Lancan Lahu, Yunnan province, that in the mid-1990s, they turned for help to the only model citizens in the area, the Christians, Chinese government. Listen to this. We had to admit that the Lahu people were a dead loss because of their addiction to opium, confessed an official who did not want to be named. Their addiction made them weak and sick. Then they would go to one of their priests who required animal sacrifices of such extravagance that the people became poor. And because they were so poor, they stole from each other and law and order deteriorated. It was a vicious cycle that no amount of government propaganda could break. We noticed, however, that in some villages in the county, the Lahu were prosperous and peace-loving. There was no drug problem or any stealing or social order problems. Households had a plentiful supply of pigs and oxen and chickens. So, look what they did. We commissioned a survey to find out why these villages were different. To our astonishment and embarrassment, we discovered the key factor was that these villages had a majority of Christians, people living out their faith. Officials launched a daring experiment in 1998, the likes of which would have been unthinkable in China even 10 years prior, they sponsored Christians to go into the troublesome villages and to share their faith. They started by picking out the worst village, which had 240 people, 107 of which were hopelessly addicted to opium. Christian Lahus were bused into the village at government expense, and the villagers were herded together by the police, and they were made to listen to the testimonies of these Christians. A year later, there were 17 converts in the village, and they began to grow rich because they stopped spending money on drugs. 8 of the 17 converts even had enough to own sewing machines and start small businesses. By 2002, 83 of the villagers were Christians, and the prosperity had spread. The government officials said, "We are delighted with the results and have been extending the tactic to other villages since then." Now, the point here isn't that there's a prosperity gospel, like if you love Jesus, you're going to be rich. The point here is that if you live out the gospel, it has an impact on your society. Hospitals, orphanages, nursing homes, how many of these things are founded by people who have Christ in their heart, right? And so we need to be those kind of people. Godly men today, if you are an older man today, I would urge you to take Paul's words to heart. Strive to be alert and reverent and self-controlled and pass the faith along through a lifestyle of healthy believing and loving and enduring. We are counting on you. We are counting on you. Let's stand today.